In the name of Jesus, amen. By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority? The high priests of Israel, the guardians and the stewards of the religious institutions and traditions of God's people, challenge Jesus' authority. Who does he think he was, riding into Jerusalem like some kind of Messiah, turning over the tables of the money changers and calling the temple his house? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Really? Who does this Jesus think he is, walking around the temple and teaching like he owned the place, as though this really was his house? It's a matter of authority. By what authority do you do these things? Well, you need to understand the question before you can understand the answer. The key word is exousia, authority. We tend to think of authority in the terms of the power to do something. And that's true, but there's a little more to it. Authority is a matter of permission granted by another to do certain things. The President of the United States is authorized by the people to be the chief executive officer of the nation. A judge on the bench has been authorized to decide cases. To have authority is to have permission from someone greater to say and do certain things. So when I forgive sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I do so in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority, his permission. He approves of it. He delights in it. He recognizes it and stands behind it. So you would be outraged, and rightly so, if someone simply assumed authority without having received it, without being duly authorized. So when the authorities knock at your door, they've got to present evidence in the form of a badge and some legal papers that they have the authority to search your house. Someone just doesn't decide to be president one day and take up the office, or the mayor of a city, or the pastor of a congregation. It's granted, it's permitted, it's authorized. That's what call and ordination are all about. So that's why you don't just stand just anybody up here on a Sunday morning, even if they could do a decent job or maybe even a better job. So all of that lies behind the question that the high priest of Israel asked. By what authority do you, Jesus, come into this temple and stir up this trouble? Who authorized you? Who sent you? It's a good question. Because Jesus claims the kind of authority that no one would dare to claim for himself. The people were amazed at Jesus' words because he taught as one who had authority in himself, St. Matthew says. Someone who didn't need to reference another. Unlike their own teachers or the temple authorities who questioned him, they would always say, well, Rabbi so-and-so said. Jesus actually has the audacity to stand up before a crowd of people and say, you have heard it said by the teachers of old, but I say to you, no one dared to speak that way. And no one dared to turn over the tables of the money changers and the sacrifice sellers or to criticize what was going on in the temple. You just don't do that kind of thing. Jesus' own words and his works gave witness to his authority. He told them as such. If you don't believe his words, then look at his works. Healing the sick, casting out the demons, stilling the storms, walking on water, raising the dead. Those aren't run-of-the-mill good works that just anybody can do. Those are the works that Almighty God does. And only one who is authorized by God the Father can do those sorts of things. So the miracles of Jesus are his badge of authority. So his words and his works are well known. There was no one in Jerusalem who hadn't heard about Jesus, least of all the temple clergy. I mean, this is chapter 21 of St. Matthew's Gospel. This episode happens in Holy Week, the week that Jesus had entered Jerusalem on the donkey and does not leave it until he's dead. The cards have been laid on the table. And they were laid out on the table at John's baptism, where Jesus visibly and audibly was approved by the descent of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You know how the story goes. The religious authorities would have none of it. They refused John's baptism, and you should understand why. Because John was calling them to repent of their religion, their alliance, their reliance on the "we've always understood our faith this way" line of thought. Because they were sure that John's baptism was for newbies coming into the faith, not for lifelong believers. That was an insult to their authority. Who did John think he was anyway? And that's precisely the point of Jesus' question. The baptism of John. Where did it come from? Until Jesus got that question answered, he was not going to answer back about his own authority, because they're linked inextricably. You can't debate unbelief. You can only corner it. You can only box it in with nowhere to go. You can't reason someone into believing. Nor can you logically convince someone with a chart that Jesus is the only one to trust for salvation. It all comes by faith. And nor can you answer every question that unbelief and denial throw in your face from those who are outside the church, because there's no end to those questions. So Jesus doesn't answer their questions that come out of unbelief, but he backs them into an extremely uncomfortable corner. It's also how it is when you approach God with endless questions, looking for some kind of trap, some kind of loophole, some kind of way to negate, to neutralize this Jesus and what he has to say to you. God the Father will box you into a corner every time with no way out except to deal with dead and risen Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. No one received the Holy Spirit except by Jesus. I mean, you can talk about God in all these nebulous ways all you want, but Jesus is where the action is. Jesus is where salvation lies. So from where did the baptism of John come? Good question. Notice how Jesus has them all cornered. There is no neutral ground. There is no safe way to answer the question. And they knew it. If they said, "Well, it's from heaven," they knew exactly what the next question was. Well, if it's from heaven, then why didn't you believe him? Why did you refuse his baptism if it came from heaven? If it came from God the Father? And they would then be confirmed in their unbelief. But they were shrewd. These are tactical unbelievers here. They're aware that John was incredibly popular. And they're aware that the people revered John as a prophet sent by God, which is who he was. So if they said that John's baptism was from men, that he had no divine authority, that he was just doing this because he wanted to, then the crowds would turn on them, and rightly so. So they went the cowardly say nothing way of political correctness. "We don't know." John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for the coming Messiah and the dawning of the kingdom of God. And the best answer, that the brightest and most powerful religious leaders in all of Israel can come up with is, we don't know. Really? You might ask the same question today about holy baptism. Is it from God or is it from men? Is this God's mandate and God's authority? Or is it for men something we do just because it's cute? Is it, as some say, an outward sign to show that you're a Christian, to actualize your commitment to God? Or is this the power of God for salvation? Is this the washing of rebirth and renewal, the means by which the death and life of Jesus come to you?
We don't know.
That answer isn't going to cut it. Unbelief is incredibly stubborn, and it's not a self-healing condition. It is unreasonably resistant, which is why the Small Catechism says that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him. Christ Jesus must come to you, engage you, deal with you by word and spirit, baptize you, forgive you, feed you. Christ Jesus must break down those walls of skepticism, of atheism, of agnosticism, of your own darkened thinking and stunted imaginations and unwillingness to go beyond the realm of what you can see right before your face. So the fact that we even believe at all is a gift of God's undeserved goodness. Even so, we're all prone to that same sort of Pharisaical questioning, aren't we? Now, I'm not talking about the normal questions of faith, questions born out of genuine curiosity, genuine desire to learn more. I'm talking about the questions that challenge God and who He is for you. The question that challenges Jesus' authority in His church and in your lives, when you think you know better than the Lord God how to save or how He should deal with His people. When you become your own lords and work your way through the faith cafeteria style, picking and choosing just the parts you like and leaving behind the parts you don't. When you preface statements with the words like, well, God can't, or Jesus wouldn't, or Jesus couldn't, that's the time for repentance. That's the time to turn back, to return to the font of baptism, to the words of forgiveness, to the supper of Jesus' body and blood for you. Because you won't get the answer to every question. You won't have every doubt addressed. But you will know this for certain. Jesus Christ, God made flesh, died for you, rose for you, reigns for you, lords His death and life over your sin and death, and nothing at all in this life can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why not? Because He has the authority to make that claim. He even says so to the disciples. Right before He ascends to His throne to be with the Father, He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So while going and making disciples of all nations, baptize and teach them. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God the Father has laid His baptismal claim upon you. He has justified you in Jesus, His Son, whom He sent with the divine authority to be your Savior, to take away the sin of the world. And so that authority is what imbues the LWML with its sense of mission, to reach out wherever in the world there are those who don't know about this Jesus. The authority of what He says gives to them and to you The ability to be ready in season and out of season to speak of your Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very source of your life and your strength and your salvation. Why will you die, O house of Israel? The Lord asks through Ezekiel. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. Trust the Lord of your baptism, and you will live. Receive the body and blood that he gives for your strength and forgiveness and salvation, and you will live. Because he is authorized by the Father to save you, and he has done it. Trust in him.
Amen.